We'll call this meeting to order. We have a pretty full agenda today, so we're going to try to stick to about 5 minutes per bill here. All the bills on the agenda look like they'll be laid over, so we'll get started here with Representative Heidgerken. Representative Heidgerken, I will move House File 2020 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health and Human Service Finance Omnibus Bill. Representative Heidgerken, welcome to committee.
Thank you, Chair Finstead, and good morning, members. I presented this very same bill, quite similar, a little bit different language last year that was passed in the Health and Human Services Omnibus Bill. Also, the same bill did pass a conference committee, and thank you, Representative Bradley, for your support there. And we did get through on a late night hour, I think at 3:45, through Senate and the House. So it's gone beyond that. But we found out over the summer, after about 25 meetings, that the language wasn't right to implement it. So it's, and we had language quite similar to what I believe the Commissioner Goodenow had used previously, but apparently it wasn't good enough at this stage of the game. So we're back in again at the table. This is probably the fourth or fifth time that we've been here trying to get this bill implemented. And with that, I just got a little testimony from one of the nursing home ministers, from Representative Lane's district?
No, Severson.
Severson's district, okay.
Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, my name is Bruce Glanzer, and I'm the CEO administrator at Good Shepherd Community, which includes a skilled nursing facility in Stock Rapids. I'm testifying today in support of House File 2020 on my own behalf and on behalf of all the other nursing homes in the three counties, St. Cloud metropolitan area. I've actually been here before on this issue, and I appreciate the support that we've had from you and from the committee and from the House of Representatives for our previous efforts to narrow the disparity in the nursing home rates between greater Minnesota metropolitan areas and the Twin Cities metro area. Unfortunately, your previous good work in the House either failed to come through the conference committee or the resources haven't been available to make the adjustments that we've sought. We hope that can change this year. For some time, our wage rates in St. Cloud have been driven by the Twin Cities wage area. The community hospital and the clinic have to pay Twin City wages, and we then have to compete with them to hire our nurses and other healthcare workers. We are severely constrained in this wage competition by our low reimbursement rates. Minnesota's long-term care payment system has evolved over the past 20 years, and historical cost differences that were the basis for rate differentials are the thing of the past. We have missed several opportunities to have the metro character of our community recognized in the long-term care payment system. House File 2020 renews the effort to address the rate equality issue. This is somewhat of a different methodology that we had proposed in recent years, but we will embrace it if it gets where we need to be, with rates that will allow us to keep quality staff to the residents we serve. The only other point I would raise is that we would also support the implementation of a measure dealing with metro rates that was enacted in 2004, if that measure were to be funded in 2005. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Heidgerken, any further comments?
None, unless there's some questions. It would just basically do something that we thought we had done previously. I think a lot of us thought that we would have put us in the group through your MSA area or whatever, but it's something that we thought was done, and so we're back again.
Members, any questions? So no questions. The chair will renew his motion to lay over House File 2020 for possible inclusion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Coles. I will move House File 1078 if you recommended. Possible inclusion. All right. I will move House File 1078 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health and Human Service Finance Omnibus Bill.
Mr. Chair, I believe there should be an amendment in members' packets as well. I appreciate you moving that to get the bill in the shape that I'd like to discuss it.
I will move the A1 amendment. Representative Coles, it looks pretty technical, is that correct?
I think it's both technical and substantive. It reduces the number of beds that we're requesting from 48 to 43. So it's actually reducing the number of beds that we're requesting in the bill.
All right, members, any questions to the A1 amendment? See no questions, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed? The amendment passes. Representative Coles, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Thank you for the opportunity to present House File 1078. This nursing home moratorium exemption bill would authorize the Auburn West Nursing Home in Waconia to continue serving the residents of Carver County and be replaced. The Auburn West facility has a very good record of service to its long-term care residents. They've managed to provide high-quality care in an old facility, which is not up to the current standards for the long-term care industry. The bill, House File 1078, will allow Auburn West to replace its current nursing home with a 43-bed facility, which will be located in close proximity to the hospital in Waconia. I have with me Wayne Ward from Moravian Care Ministries, who's the administrator of the Auburn West facility in Waconia. Mr. Ward will provide you with more detailed information about their plans for replacing the existing facility. Before Mr. Ward, I'd just like to share very briefly, I received an email just a week or so ago from the niece of a resident at Auburn West, and she writes, "Dear Representative Coles, due to my familiarity with the Auburn West nursing home in Waconia, knowing its difficulties and usage for the residents, staff, and visitors, I'd like to encourage you to enact the house file. My Aunt Irene has been a resident there for about 5 years. The staff treats the patients very well, I think, as well as treating the families of their patients well. It takes a lot of work and planning to keep the building in working order, so please help them build a new facility." Members, of support in the community being distributed is a resolution passed by the Waconia Chamber of Commerce in support of the proposal, and Mr. Ward is here to provide some additional testimony. Thank you.
Welcome to committee, Mr. Ward. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Wayne Ward. I'm the administrator of Auburn West in Waconia, and I'm also the administrator of Auburn Manor in Chaska, two nursing homes Moravian Care Ministry zones. Thank you, Representative Coles, members of the committee. Auburn West, it was in a very old building, was built in the early 1940s as a hospital, and served the community of Waconia for about 20 years in that building, and the hospital relocated to its present location. The building was, some minor renovations were made and turned into a 43-bed nursing home at that time, operated by a nonprofit board called Nightingale Nursing Home. Over the course of the years, Nightingale de-licensed 6 beds between 1985 and 1991 because they were required to by the state because of insufficient square footage for the residents per bed. In fact, today we have 13 rooms for 37 residents. 6 of the rooms are 4-bed wards. 1 3-bed ward, there's 4 2-bed rooms and 2 private rooms. 25 of the 37 residents have 3 bathrooms to use. 3 of the rooms, each of them 4-bed wards, have a private bathroom for those rooms. Otherwise, the rest of the residents, 25, have 3 bathrooms sealed. 2 of them are located right by the nursing station in the main entrance, which is the busiest and most congested part of the facility. Being handed out to you is a kind of a flyer on some of the facts about the facility, but a small brochure shows pictures, which really, I think, illustrates the facts of the facility's basic 2 problems are the 4-bed wards and the lack of private rooms. I understand there's a time constraint here today, and so recognizing that, I won't go into all the other factors of that building, but we do want to replace it. We are working with the hospital in Waconia to procure some land right next to the hospital. We would build very close to it, and we build to the modern day standards, a lot of private rooms and double rooms with private bathrooms for each room.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Members, any questions for the testifier? Representative Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. Having been there and working in nursing homes and knowing what it's like for people to share bathrooms, I really applaud your effort here. Thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Thank you, Representative.
Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, the chair will renew his motion to lay over House File 1078 as amended for possible inclusion. Thank you, Representative Foles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Representative Atkins. I will move House File 1627 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health and Human Service Finance Omnibus Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, there is a 805-0358 author's amendment that would bring it into the shape of VHS, and the proponents have worked on this together, and I'd ask that be moved as well, put it in shape.
That sounds good. I will move the 805-0358 amendment. Any discussion to that amendment? Seeing no discussion of that amendment, we'll proceed to vote on that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Amendment passes. Representative Atkins, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm here today with David Waller, the owner of Careco, owner and operator of Careco Homes, which has been in Invergulf Heights since 1984. They've done a tremendous job for our community. But when it was built in 1984, they were at 14 beds with shared bedrooms. That doesn't work so well now, and in fact they found themselves in between a proverbial rock and hard place, where if they don't downsize private bedrooms from 14 to 8, it's either that or go out of business. Literally they've been talking with developers about putting multifamily housing in instead. We don't want to lose them, folks. They do too good of a service for our folks in the community, for people with disabilities. If this doesn't occur, they go belly up and they sell out to somebody else. We need them in our community. We'd hope that you'd provide for this modest downsizing. We'd ask for your support. That's all that this bill does. And with that, I have Mr. Waller here. You'll find a summary of our presentation. But in recognition of your time constraints today, I guess I'd open it for questions or concerns that you may have.
Thank you. Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Atkins, does the fiscal note that we have reflect the change? Because it looks like what you've done is actually insert a specific amount.
Right.
And I don't see that in fiscal note.
And I appreciate Chair Bradley bringing that to the attention of the committee. That just came out in the last day. It is being updated. I'm told we're supposed to have a fiscal note here yet today. But my understanding is it will be laid over for potential inclusion in the omnibus finance bill. We'll make certain that you receive that. You'll probably get it before I will. But it will update that figure slightly.
Representative Bradley?
Mr. Chair, Representative Atkins, just for today, what is the current rate?
The current rate is, I believe it's 131.47. The new rate would be 230.07.
And I'm sorry, one last one.
Representative Bradley.
Chair, the 230, is there a particular method by which that was arrived at?
Mr. Chair, I'll defer to Mr. Waller.
Mr. Waller, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm David Waller. I'm the owner and operator of Careco Homes. That figure was arrived at by taking the last 3 years' spending and breaking it down to the cost that would remain fixed due to taxes, land costs don't change with the number of residents. Everything that was affected by the number of residents served was downsized from 14 to 8. And at that point, we arrived at the 230. So we basically took the existing financial formulas and just prorated them.
All right, you got a little follow-up. Thank you.
All right. Members, any further questions? So no further questions, I will renew my motion in House File 1627 as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health and Human Service Finance out of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members.
Representative Marquardt. I will move House File 1885 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health and Human Service Finance Omnibus Bill. Representative Marquardt, welcome to the committee, and please proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. House File 1885 would provide an operating rate increase of $7.92 for the Barnesville Good Samaritan Center, which is located about 20 miles east of the Fargo-Moorhead area and probably about 25 miles away from the Breckenridge-Wahpeton area. And this rate increase is needed. They are historically low in reimbursement rates, And when it comes to nursing wages and competitiveness, they find a disadvantage being close to these other areas in North Dakota in trying to match those. So I have Nathan Johnson, who is the administrator of the Good Samaritan facility, and he's have a few more details on that plan.
Welcome to committee, Mr. Johnson. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you as well. My name is Nathan Johnson. I'm the administrator at the Barnesville Good Samaritan Center in Barnesville, Minnesota. And I'm here to support our special legislation that's before you. And I just have a few brief comments. I would like to point out three main points in support of this rate increase. Number one is, and Representative Marquardt did a nice job outlining our demographic area and our competitive market area, which we consider to be Moorhead, Fergus Falls, Pelican Rapids area, Breckenridge, all the areas on the sheet in front of you that are highlighted or shaded. Consider those to be in our market area. In that area, our rates are significantly below the average by about $12.85. In the area, in the region, in our county alone, we're about $12.77 below the average reimbursement rate. So with that in mind, that makes my second critical point that I would just like to share with you today, and that's in lieu of wages. Because of this rate disparity, it puts our facility at a huge disadvantage to be able to offer competitive wages in our demographic, our marketing area. And as a result of that, creates turnover, and with turnover, of course, comes recruitment and retention costs and everything that's associated with that. And just to throw a figure at you, in 2004, we spent about approximately $70,000 in turnover costs as a facility. So the theme of low wages is an ongoing challenge and a continuing message that I continue to hear, and my hands are kind of tied with that. The third point that I would just like to mention is our credibility as a facility. We've served in the community of Barnesville for 40 years and have had a high tradition of quality care, and we would like that to continue. But we fear that with the rate disparity in our area that we're falling behind in capital improvements and necessary economic movements to remain viable and solid with staffing and various other things. So I just wanted to not leave our facility in a negative light either. I wanted to comment on the positive attributes as well. We have many wonderful dedicated employees. 25% of our staff have served our facility for 10 years or more, which I think is an admirable number. We continue to have a wide variety of support from the community and active advisory board. And just to share one quick example, last year we successfully completed a capital campaign to raise $50,000 to replace our existing bus, which is a big treat for our facility and a benefit. So just to point that out. So my goal is not to hurt the nursing homes around us, but to catch us up. And really, we're just looking to you and the committee for your support today. So I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
If I could have a few comments from Karen Lauer, who's Executive Director of the Barnesville EDA.
That would be great. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Lauer. If you could state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Karen Lauer, and I'm with the Barnesville Economic Development Authority in support today of File 1885. The Barnesville Good Samaritan Center has been a cornerstone of our community for 40 years. With 80 employees, the facility is the second largest employer in Barnesville, jobs that are critically important to our community. In fact, the economic impact of this facility is estimated to be over $10 million to the community on an annual basis. In recent months, we've been concerned about operating losses and a movement towards unionized labor stemming directly from the facility's rate disparity. The Barnesville Good Samaritan Center is a critical part of our community. I urge you to support this rate increase, which will allow the facility to remain economically viable.
Thank you, Ms. Lauer. Members, any questions for the testifiers? see no questions. Representative Marquardt, do you have anything else? Or
I do not. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Wise move. All right. With that being said, we will. The chair will renew his motion to lay over House File 1885 for possible inclusion in the Health and Human Services Finance Omnibus Bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All right. Representative Marquardt, I will move House File 1972 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health and Human Services Finance Omnibus. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to say that this is House File 1972, of course, election year that Richard Nixon was elected, and my birthday is January 9th, the same as Richard Nixon. I thought that might help me with certain members here. That's why we share a birthday. Anyway, House File 1972 involves a rate increase of $20.71 per day per person for CCRI Inc., which is a six-bed facility for developmental for those with developmental disabilities. It is a group home that we want to maintain in our area. It is an excellent group home, and we want to make sure that it remains. I've got here Rhonda King, who is an executive director of CCRI, who can give you the reasons why we need this.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. King. If you could state your name for the record and proceed.
Rhonda King with CCRI. CCRI has been in business since 1977 in Clay County. At the time we opened, we provided services to 8 individuals and we employed 8. Today we employ 400 individuals and we serve 260 people with a variety of different disabilities. And as Paul said, I'm here today to ask for support on this bill. The rationale for why we're asking for an increase came in February when we had our annual health department survey. We received 2 citations, one of which was fairly serious. They felt that our staffing pattern that had been in operation, been with us since we started operating this group home in 1980, no longer met the needs of the aging population that lived in the home. We have an individual, the most serious need is an individual with Alzheimer's that's progressing, and midway through last year we saw some of those changes and installed an alarm system in the home that rang when the doors opened, and it actually went off where the staff, because we have a sleep staff pattern right now, so it rang down where the staff were sleeping at night to let them know if she were ever to exit. Well, when the health department came, they felt that that was not adequate to meet their needs. And about a month later, we received a federal look-behind survey from the Center of Medicaid Services, and they echoed the same thing. They said, you know, you're providing excellent services, but your staffing pattern needs to change. You need to have a wake night staff in place. So, of course, our current funding did not meet that need, so I called up Barb Nelson with the Department of Human Services, and she helped us work through a variable rate process, and we were approved for that, but it expires in 1 year. So in March of 06, we will not have funding for this. So I'm looking today for a permanent rate increase so that we can continue to operate. And the way we see it, there's 3 options. If we don't receive the permanent rate increase when our rate expires, we can either close, and somebody's going to need to serve those 6 people because their needs are not going to go away. We can stay a group home, which is what we're hoping to do and why we're here before you today. Just to tell you a little bit about the folks that live there, 4 out of the 6 people that live there came the day the doors opened in 1980. So this has been their home the majority of their adult life. The newest person has been there for 12 years. And unlike most situations in this industry, we have virtually no staff turnover at this house. So most of the staff have been with those clients between 6 and 12 years. They operate much like a family. Those staff know every need of those clients, and there is nobody that can provide better for them as they age. And so we're really hoping that this is what you approve. And that has a cost, as you see in your fiscal note, of about $45,000, of which the state would be responsible for half. The other option is we can decertify, and at that time, our group home, and then at that time, the state has to give those 6 people waiver slots. What we're asking with our $20.71 increase is we're asking for $135 a day as a group home. Waiver services traditionally, as DHS could tell you, do not provide services for $135 a day. Our average waiver rate happens to be $185 a day. So if we were to decertify and go to a waiver, first of all, those clients would be split into two homes because the most people that can be in one waiver home is four. So that family unit that I'm talking about is gone, and we need a lot more staff and new staff who won't necessarily know of their needs. And it's going to cost the state about the total cost, additional cost to go to that is about $153,000, which the state, of course, is responsible for half. So we really see it as very much a win-win situation if you support this bill. First and foremost, the clients get to stay in their home. Second of all, as an employer, we get to keep our employees in the positions that they're used to. And third, for you, in your positions, it's the most fiscally sound for the taxpayers.
Thank you, Ms. King. We have questions here. Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. King, you may have said it. What's your current rate?
$115.03. So we're asking to go to $130.74, I think. Yep. $135.74, excuse me.
Representative Bradley.
Thank you, and Mr. Chair and Ms. King, whether you can give it today, if you can follow up with a comparison of what rates are in the region. This is an ICFMR, I assume, so what you have a sense of what in the region the rates are?
We're the only ICFMR in the region. Barb Nelson's in the audience. She might know.
If my memory serves me correctly, on a kind of a statewide basis, 115 is pretty low.
That's my guess, yeah. We're a pretty good deal is my guess, but I don't know.
Okay. Thank
for
you.
Fact.
All right, any further questions, members? See no further questions. I will renew my motion to lay over House File 1972 for possible inclusion in the Health Human Service Finance Omnibus Bill. Thank you, Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Chair and members.
Thank you.
Representative Coonan. I will move House File 1335 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health and Human Service Finance Omnibus Bill. Representative Coonan, I also see a DE1 amendment. Is this a delete all?
Yes, it is. I would like like that move to get the bill in proper shape, please.
All right. I will now move the DE1 amendment. Members, are there any questions on that amendment? It sounds like it's to get the bill in the shape the author wants it to be in. So no questions. We'll proceed to vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Amendment passes. Representative Coonan, to your bill.
This bill is the facility reimbursement rate increase, and the amendment is something that was worked out between the City of Renville, who currently owns the nursing home, and DHS. With me today is Paul McLaughlin, City Administrator from Renville, and he will testify on the bill as amended.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Paul McLaughlin. I'm the City Administrator for the City of Renville. City of Renville is currently the owner-operator of the nursing facility called Renvilla. It was constructed in 1960. We're in the process of selling that facility to St. Francis Health Services, headquartered in Morris. And in order for this transition to be relatively seamless and in the best interest of the residents of the facility, from a operations standpoint, this is a contingency upon the sale of the facility. So it's kind of paramount to us that this piece of legislation move forward and be included in the tax bill.
All right, members, any questions? See no questions. That was a world record here. All right, I will renew my motion then that House File 1335 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health Human Service Finance Omnibus Bill. Thank you, Representative Coonan. And looks like the same cast of characters for the next one, so I will move House File 663 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health Human Service Finance Omnibus Bill. Representative Coonan, to that bill.
This bill is a moratorium exception project deadline extension. And with me again is Mr. Paul McLaughlin, and he'll speak to the bill.
Welcome to the committee again. Just state your name again for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Paul McLaughlin. I'm the city administrator for the city of Renville. This bill reflects the moratorium exception that the city of Renville had received in the year 2002, I believe. It expires in December of 2005. What this bill is asking for is a one-year extension to December of 2006. And with the interest of time, I will conclude my testimony.
Well, we got a good hour.
I can talk.
Oh, I'm getting dirty looks here.
Have you ever had an administrator that couldn't talk?
Yeah, that's right. Members, any questions for the testifiers? Seeing no questions, then the chair will. I will renew my motion that House File 663 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Health and Human Services Finance Omnibus Bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Members, with that, we might have set a record. Do we have any committee business? Get some rest and sleep for the next 2 days. That's all I have to say. All right. That's the remainder of our business, so we will adjourn.
Okay.